Hello, it's Friday, October 27th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. There's a lot going on here today. We're not going to get into it. Instead, we're ready to jump into the weekend. Our guest today is Mr. Ted Gunderson, who we've had on Wing TV before. I think we had him on for either a 2 or 3 day stretch in a row.
3 days.
3 days in a row, about a year, year and a half ago. And we had the privilege of meeting Ted down at the American Free Press Conference last month down in Washington, D.C. And for those of you who aren't aware or don't know Ted Gunderson, he spent 27 years as an FBI senior special agent in charge of many areas, including Los Angeles, California. Right now, he is a private investigator, and he's looked into such cases as the Finders, the Dr. Jeffrey McDonald case, the Franklin cover-up, and the McMartin preschool trial. He has a score of videos. One of the best known is Satanic Cults and Missing Children, and his website can be found at tedgunderson.com. We'd like to welcome Mr. Ted Gunderson to Wing TV. How you doing, Ted?
Hey, listen, thanks for having me back on your show.
Hi, Ted.
It's our honor, and it was nice to meet you there down in D.C.
Yes, my pleasure. It was a great conference, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were wondering what your thoughts of it were.
Well, no, it was a fabulous conference. I really enjoyed it. I was kind of surprised that the speeches were only, some of them were only 15 minutes long. Like, well, mine was only 15 minutes.
Ours was even shorter.
Yeah, we got even less. So we're glad we got to see your speech up there. And it would have been good if they would have given you more time. But what we did is we called Ted a few weeks ago. He sent us a double videotape of himself called the Ted Gunderson Chronicles.
Doing a presentation.
Right, which we've watched the last couple nights. And Ted, first of all, I want to thank you for sending that. And there's so much. This was 4 hours of material in there. What we really want to talk about today, Ted, is the Finders, satanic occult activity in the government, the CIA, and all of these different cults and so forth, and really get your thoughts on it. So to start off, give everybody your website, and then give us a brief overview of how you got involved in investigating this material.
Tell you what. Well, first of all, I retired March 1979. At that time, I was in charge of most of Southern California. My official title was the senior special agent in charge of the FBI in Los Angeles, and had over 700 personnel under my command. And we had 16 sub offices scattered around Southern California and so forth. And my first major, and then I opened, well, first right after I retired, I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico. I coordinated security for the Pan American Games, and I came back. I was a consultant on the 84 Olympics, consultant for Governor Jerry Brown on California Narcotic Authority, and so on and so forth. Then I opened my own investigative firm. Actually, before that, I was a consultant with the Olympics. I did that in 79 and 80. And my first major investigation was the Dr. Jeffrey R. McDonald case, and that's spelled capital M-A-C-D-O-N-A-L-D. And by the way, my website is, before I forget about it, is tedgunderson.com, tedgunderson.com. But anyway, so the Dr. McDonald case, that involved a situation where Dr. McDonald's wife and two children, 2.5 and 5.5, were murdered on February the 17th, 1970, and at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, which was a military base, of course. And Dr. McDonald was a Green Beret captain in the military, and he had been tried and convicted and sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences. At the time that his friends came to me and said, the man's innocent, will you investigate it?
Mm-hmm.
So I began my investigation. Within 10 months, I obtained a signed confession from a girl named Helena Stokely.
Right.
And Helena told me that he did not commit those crimes, even though he's tried and convicted and sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences, that they were committed by her satanic cult group, which included 7 members of the group, and that they went in and everything got out of hand, and they left McDonald for dead and wiped out the rest of his family.
Well, let me jump in here a second, Ted. People that aren't familiar with this case, it, of course, was contained in the book Fatal Vision, and I believe there was also a TV show or a movie about that. And the wife, Jeffrey McDonald's wife, was stabbed 26 times, plus his 2 daughters. I think they're stabbed with ice picks or something like that. And so take it from there, just so everyone is familiar with what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, Dr. McDonald claimed that he was laying on the couch in the family room, and these intruders came in, and one was a black male, and another one, two others were white males, and then there was a white female with a floppy white hat, and that, by the way, was Alina Stokely, and Alina kept just chanting, "Acid is groovy, kill the pigs. Acid is groovy, kill the pigs." They're all high on dope. They had a meeting before this. It was a satanic meeting. And so McDonald got in a fight with them. He was laying on the couch, and he lost. He felt a sharpness to his left lung, to his left part of his body, and he lost consciousness. Woke up. There was total silence in the house. And he went back and saw that, you know, the three family members had been murdered.
Now, when the police investigated this, it ends up, after you took over and started looking at it, that there were missing police files. There was missing evidence like the skin under the nails of the dead wife. There were fibers missing, hair samples missing. And Dr. Jeffrey McDonald is still in prison to this day, isn't he?
That's right. Well, you know the case very well, don't you?
Yeah, well, we saw your video.
Oh, you saw my video. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, most recently, by the way, now let me just go back and mention this, that the case involved the cult that murdered the McDonald family were distributing drugs up and down the East Coast. The drugs were being flown into the military bases in plastic bags in the body cavities of the dead GIs,
uh-huh.
And the cult was in Fort Bragg was distributing them up and down the East Coast, as I mentioned. And the higher-ups in the drug operation knew that if it came out, became public knowledge, that the cult had wiped out the McDonald family, it could expose this whole operation, which was, by the way, publicized in the Time magazine January 1, 1973. The higher-ups of the drug operation realized that that happened, that it could expose the whole operation across the United States because they were bringing them into other bases also. So what they did, they basically framed Dr. McDonald and set him up and framed him, and he's in jail to this day, even though we've had hearings, even though we had, Alina gave me this confession, we presented it to the courts, the courts ignored it. Kathy Perry, who was one of the participants in the murder, along with Alina, gave a confession to the FBI, that confession was ignored. Greg Mitchell, who was another one of the assailants, had confessed to his neighbor, and when he got drunk one night, that he was involved in this murder, and that was ignored. And so the case has been covered up. I mean, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like you say, it was a book, Fatal Vision. There's also a book called Fatal Justice. It's out that tells the true story by Jerry Potter and Fred Boss.
Ted, did you approach the mainstream media since law enforcement was ignoring the evidence?
Well, sure. Of course I approached them. In fact, I debated Freddie Kassab, the father-in-law, on CNN.
Uh-huh.
And, but, you know, my confession's all that's been ignored by everybody.
Right.
The courts ignored it. Judge Dupree, who was the judge at that time, claims, you know, he just ruled against us, period. That's all there is to it.
These
judges have so much power, it's unbelievable.
And see, we have to frame this in a much bigger context because this wasn't simply a murder on in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Random event.
Right, and this didn't just involve some random drug dealers in this one area of the country or up and down the East Coast. When you talk about the drugs being flown into the bodies of dead GIs, this goes all the way back then to the Golden Triangle, to Vietnam,
to the CIA.
So this is a big, big picture, right? Isn't it, Ted?
Oh, absolutely it's big. And the people that covered up knew about this. Now, initially the investigation was by the Army, Criminal Investigative Division of the Department of the Army. However, once I entered the case, the FBI started investigating it. But regardless of whether it was the FBI or the Army, the whole case has been covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And the man's absolutely innocent.
And what's his thoughts today? Like, what's it been now, 30 years or so? He has to be absolutely beside himself to be framed for this murder.
Well, it's terrible because the update on the case is this. In 1997, the judge approved DNA tests, and he approved of opening the evidence envelopes for 50 individual pieces of evidence. However, he would not allow the defense to be present when they opened the evidence envelopes, only the prosecution. Now, what's happened is, when the prosecution then comes back, they claim that 5 of the 15 envelopes are empty.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine that?
Yeah, how convenient.
How convenient. Now, there's another interesting aspect. A&E recently had a show. By the way, A&E did not interview me, even though I was able to present the other side of the case. They basically, whoever produced it, made it indicated, of course, that Dr. McDonald was guilty. But A&E had this show, and Bill Curtis, at the end of the show, made the statement that they found a hair of McDonald's under the fingernails of Colette. Well, that's interesting because initially, after the murders in 1970, her fingernails were scraped, and they found skin under there, and it disappeared once they gave it to Bill Ivory. So how come all of a sudden now the hair has come up 30-some years later?
What a disgrace.
Yeah, it really is.
How did you get involved with the Finders case, Ted?
Well, back in the late 80s, I was approached by an organization known as a Nebraska Leadership Conference, and they had learned about a huge case involving pedophiles, child kidnappings, prostitution, mainly child kiddie porn, satanic cults, and so forth. And this all came forward as a result of a raid by the FBI and the IRS of an organization in Omaha, Nebraska, known as the Franklin Cover-Up. It was a savings and loan in a minority neighborhood. And what happened is because of the publicity, 80 children came forward, pictures in the paper and so forth, of the perpetrators and the people involved in the scam, because they had $40 million was missing. 80 children came forward and told their parents, that man molested me. There was a fellow named Larry King who was identified and president of the Franklin Savings and Loan. Larry King was a fast-rising star in the Republican Party. And as a result of the publicity, 4 children gave statements. Two of them actually later recanted. But 2 refused to recant, and that's Lisa Owens and Paul Benassi.
Uh-huh.
And so they said that they gave statements. I interviewed Paul. I have a 5-hour interview with Paul Benassi, by the way, on mind control alone.
What's he up to these days?
Well, Paul became a born-again Christian, has married, and I think he has 2 children. He's living a quiet life. He refuses to be interviewed or to come forward and talk about these past experiences. But Paul was involved in the kidnapping of children. He was used when he was 10, 11, 12 years old as a decoy in parks and public places to attract the kids over where the adults were. And then the adults would grab the kids and put them in the car and they'd be on their way.
Uh-huh.
Now, recently we had I'm sure you're familiar with the picture of the 3 little boys, 12-year-old boys who were bound and gagged.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of publicity on it, quite a bit of publicity. One of those kids was Johnny Gosch. Johnny Gosch in 1982 was kidnapped off his paper route, and he was one of those boys. In fact, that picture showed him with the clothes on that he had the night he was killed, the day he was kidnapped.
Yeah. Now, I want to get a lot more into this, into the Finders and his child kidnapping and his Satanism, but let's go back in time to the 1980s. Well, let's first of all frame it this way. A few weeks ago, there was a congressman named Mark Foley. Okay, you're well aware of him, right?
Of course.
He was hitting on the pages and sending them dirty little emails. Well, if we go back to the 1980s during the Reagan era, the Washington Times had a headline about these sex parties in Washington, D.C. So, Ted, some people might think this Mark Foley thing is something new, that it just started. This goes back decades, doesn't it?
Was it the Post or the Times?
The Times, Washington Times.
Oh, absolutely. This is all part of the Franklin cover-up case.
Uh-huh.
This is an outgrowth of the raid on the Franklin Savings and Loan where $40 billion is missing.
Ted, tell everybody how big this is.
It's huge. What they do is they take these kids, and they were taking them out of orphanages, boys' towns, foster homes, driving them from Omaha to Sioux City, Iowa, 184 miles away, in private limousines, putting them in private jets, and flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies with congressmen, senators, dignitaries, ambassadors, et cetera, and for the specific purpose of blackmailing them. And that's what's happened. That's why Congress is, many congressmen are voting for these idiotic legislation that takes away many of our constitutional rights, civil liberties, because they're being blackmailed and framed because they have pictures of the of these congressmen, senators having sex with children.
Exactly.
In fact, I've interviewed the so-called official photographer of the group who took these pictures.
Well, there's a guy named Gary Caradori that actually had evidence on all of these guys. He had photographic evidence. Tell everybody what happened to his plane.
Well, Gary was hired by, this whole case was being investigated by a Nebraska State Senate committee. They have John DeCamp and Senator Lawrence Schmidt were heading up the committee. And Gary Caradori was hired by the committee, and Gary ended up contacting a fellow named Rusty Nelson, who was the official photographer I'm talking about a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Rusty, although he was in Arizona, I met him in Chicago. Gary flew his own plane back. He had his 11 or 12-year-old son with him, and met Rusty. He got the pictures, compromising pictures, the smoking gun of some of these high-level politicians having sex with children through Rusty Nelson. And he was on his way back about 1:30 in the morning. He flew out of Chicago, and his plane exploded in midair. And, of course, he was killed. His little boy was killed. And the pictures fell to the ground. A farmer was there. A deputy sheriff was also there. The farmer actually witnessed the plane, and he said there was an explosion, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
He said it just exploded. The government claimed the plane just fell apart. Of course, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the first person on the scene was a deputy sheriff who saw the pictures, started picking them up, and was picking up the pictures and also what have you. And an FBI agent arrived and took the pictures from him and told him to keep his mouth shut. Well, apparently he told a few people about it because a year later his wife was murdered and he's not talking anymore.
Yeah, that's no surprise.
And so what we have is another cover-up by that great organization, the FBI. Now, I'm embarrassed to say that I was a part of it, but in my day we were a good organization.
Let me ask you this about them.
They have today. It's been infiltrated.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I know that you used to view the FBI in a good way, and now you have radically changed your view of them. Are you in touch with any of the FBI agents that worked when you did who could maybe stand with you in bringing forward all this stuff, or won't they stand with you?
No, I'm basically out on an island all by myself.
But why won't they?
They're out playing golf, thinking about their retirement, enjoying life, and so to speak, and they just don't want to get involved in it. Well, first of all, they probably don't know. They're not aware of it. I became involved in it quite by accident through the McDonald case, and it just grew and grew and grew. As a result of publicity I received on the Jeffrey McDonald case, I had people come from all parts of the United States and start talking to me about satanic cults, and that's what this is all about. This is good versus evil. This is involves a heavy-duty satanic influence into these various levels of society.
Okay.
And so these guys don't just—they just don't have the background. They don't—they're not aware of what's going on, and they don't think there's anything to this. For example, 9 out of 10 of them think that Dr. McDonald is guilty. Well, they don't know the facts of the case. And by the way, I have a summary of that case, I have a lot of—I have interviews with Paul Benassi. As I said a few moments ago, I have a 5-hour interview with Paul Benassi. I have interviews with Chip Tatum, who was a black operator with the CIA. These are all on videotapes, TedGunderson.com on the website. And so I have a tremendous amount of research that's available to the public. And
yes, you do.
I encourage people to buy it and to make copies and get it out.
Mm-hmm.
All of these cases, the McDonald case, the Franklin cover-up, the Finders case, that was a cult group that would kidnap children, I guess, and recruit children for sex slavery rituals and so forth. All of these cases are tied together by the suppressed evidence, the elimination, the disappearance of evidence, and the stopping of the investigation and children being returned back to the perpetrators,
yeah.
Right?
Well, let's go back then to February 5th, 1987, when there was the first arrest that linked anything to the Finders. Tell us, pick up the story from that day.
Well, you say February 5th, 1987, the first arrest, you mean on the Franklin cover-up?
Well, no, this was the Finders down in Tallahassee.
Tallahassee, Florida. Oh, sure, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, well, that's very interesting because the Tallahassee Police Department received an anonymous phone call from an individual, and he said, this person said that there were two men and a group of children who were shabbily dressed in the park in Tallahassee, and that was February 5, 1987, as you mentioned. And the police went down, and they talked to the two men, and they found out they were from Washington, D.C., and they belonged to an organization known as the Finders. The men's names were Ammerman and Houlihan.
Right, and the children were aged 2 to 7. Most of them didn't have underwear on. They were filthy. They were riddled with insect bites. They were very neglected. They were only getting food as a reward. Right, Ted?
Right, and not only that, they didn't know how to use telephones, didn't know how to use toilets, and they said they were en route to Mexico to attend a smart school. Now, I doubt if that's true, of course.
Yeah.
They're probably going down there using the sex slaves or maybe body parts or what have you. But as a result of the incident in Tallahassee, the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. issued arrests, warrants for search warrants for the Finders headquarters, and they raided the warehouse and also the home where the perpetrators lived, and they found all kinds of paraphernalia.
Right.
And
they found jars of urine and feces in there, didn't they?
They found that. They found evidence of terrorism. They found information about that this organization was tied into other organizations, Finders around the world in London, Germany, the Bahamas, Japan, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Africa, Costa Rica, and Europe.
So there was an investigation that ensued, but it was stopped by the Justice Department, correct?
That's right.
Why?
And the investigation, of course, was stopped, and the Metropolitan Police Department notified a customs agent. I have a copy of this customs agent report, by the way, that the organization of the Finders had become a CIA internal matter under investigation by the CIA. Now, if you talk about internal CIA matter, that means it's a CIA organization, obviously.
Right, and that's one of the most interesting things that we saw from your presentation was, I'm going to get to that in 1 second, but let's just go over some of the other things that they found in these warehouses and in their computers that these people were purchasing, trading, and kidnapping children. They were impregnating other women to be used in this. They had a computer network where they not only referenced this arrest, but then they informed other Finders groups to be aware. There was evidence of blood rituals, explicit sexual conduct. Goats were dismembered, their testes removed, the members wore white sheets.
And how telling is this? The Finders leader's late wife used to work with the FBI, and his son worked for the CIA's Air America, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And yet they didn't bother to investigate it because of grounds of national security?
Right. So just talk about this line from the report. The activity of the Finders had become a CIA internal matter. That's heavy duty.
That's right. That's right. By the way, the two locations where the search warrants were served were at 1307 4th Street Northeast in Washington, D.C., and also 3918 and 3920 W Street Northwest.
They were selling children, weren't they?
They were selling children, and these kids can be used for satanic ceremonies. By the way, we have satanic ceremonies coming up in a couple of days all over the country. Sacrifices are involved.
Are the Finders still operating today?
Yes, they are. They're still operating today. I have taken this report, the very report that I sent to you that you're reading from. Did I send you a copy of the report or just the video?
We just have the video, but you went over the entire report, so.
Right. And anyway, I sent a copy of this report to the FBI on a half a dozen occasions and then demanded an investigation of the Finders, and they have yet to come interview me and talk to me about it.
Yeah. Well, Ted, how does it's sickening, it's repulsive, but how does the CIA, what is their motive and purpose for using the finders? Is it to use these children to blackmail, or does it go even beyond that?
Well, it's both. It's these kids are used for blackmail purposes, and they call the boys, they call them toys, and also they're used in human sacrifices. They're used for body parts. They're used for sex slaves. Johnny Gosch, who was kidnapped off his paper route, became a sex slave. Paul Benassi was he was a sex slave himself. He was 10, 11, 12 years old. They used him. They recruited him right off the streets of Omaha, Nebraska. And, you know, the scenario just goes on and on and on.
This involves the CIA, the FBI, and major governmental and media institutions that are all involved in the trafficking of children, which is tied to the distribution of narcotics?
That's right. Absolutely. Now, this is interesting. I did a little survey of my own. You know, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Well, they send these flyers out all over the United States every day, almost every day, it seems like. And in reviewing the flyers that I had received, and I just moved from Las Vegas to Nebraska, by the way, for security reasons, because I was under constant surveillance and there were attempts on my life, and I figured I better get out of Dodge, so to speak. But I had like 98 of these flyers, and I did a survey, did my own survey on them. I charted the day, the month, I should say, that each of these 98 children disappeared. And I found out that half of them, exactly half of them, 98 would be what, 74? No, it would be
49.
40, what?
49.
Half of them, actually half of them, disappeared during the 3 months of June, October, and December. So now you say to yourself, well, why those 3 months? Well, because those are the 3 months when the satanic cults have their human sacrifices. The summer solstice is June 21st.
Yep.
Halloween is October 31st.
Yep.
And December 21st is the winter solstice. So half of these kids, the flyers that I had, disappeared during those 3 months, and the other 9 months were the other half.
That's bizarre.
It should be known, too, the charges were ultimately dropped against the two men in Tallahassee. The children were returned to their mothers, or the women that were supposed to be their mothers, and the local police backed away from the case, which I find bizarre. How did they avoid local police detection, Ted?
Well, because there are people higher up than the police who are telling them what to do and what not to do, obviously.
Yeah.
They move around a lot, don't they?
Beg your pardon?
They move around a lot.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. Now, the FBI withdrew from the case 3 weeks prior to April the 2nd, 1987. And they told a customs agent, by the way, in my finder's report, which is available to the public, it's a U.S. Department of the Treasury customs report. It's pointed out in there, in this report, and by the way, this includes also a summary of a Nebraska case. It's quite an extensive report, like it's almost 100 pages long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ted also has a report that shows that there were activities going on in other countries, so it's not just within America. We have to say, too, the finder's leader, Marion Petty, denies doing anything illegal. He denies being connected to the CIA, and he denies doing any work for foreign governments. Right, Ted?
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
and
the evidence states otherwise.
Right.
Well, see, now, this particular customs agent who wrote this report went over on April the 2nd, 87, to the Metropolitan Police Department in order for a final briefing, and at that time he was told that the State Department advised the Metropolitan Police Department. You asked me how the Metropolitan Police Department would cover this up, or why they're not involved.
Uh-huh.
They were told by the State Department all travel and use of the passport by the holders of the passports, which was found by the passports are found in the car in Tallahassee, was within the law and no action would be taken. This included travel to Moscow, North Korea, and North Vietnam from the late 1950s to the mid-1970s, and it was against the law to travel to those countries at that time. And he was further, his custom agent was further advised that in addition to being told it had become a CIA internal matter, that the Metropolitan Police Department report had been classified secret and was not available for review, and he was advised that the FBI had withdrawn from the investigation several weeks prior, and that the FBI Foreign Counterintelligence Division had directed will be taken. Cover up, cover up.
I have two questions for you, Ted. JonBenet Ramsey, was she a part of this?
Well, I can't say she was part of the finders, but I can tell you this.
This whole sex ring with the kids?
There's every indication that that's the case. That she involved, she was a victim of pedophilia. And what I personally think on the JonBenet Ramsey case is, you see, in part of their training with a multi-generation Satanist. Now, multi-generation Satanist is somebody who was born into the movement. And then you bring your kids into it. They bring their kids into it. And it keeps going on generation after generation. But part of the training of a multi-generation Satanist is to take the children right up the edge of death and then bring them back.
Right, right.
And what I think happened, because she had ligature marks on her neck, if I recall,
right,
is that they took her too far and they couldn't bring her back and she died.
You know, that's exactly what I think, too. I don't think the parents did it. I think the parents knew that someone was down there with her, and I agree 100% as they just took things too far, and they realized, like, damn, we got a mess on our hands now.
Let me ask you the second question. How many of our politicians do you think are compromised in this way?
Oh, a high percentage of them, because if you just look at the way they vote and the fact that they refuse to stand up for what's right.
They've got something on everybody.
And they pass these laws that are just unbelievable, take our civil rights, constitutional rights away from us. Those are the ones you have to watch. You have to figure out the high percentage of those who voted in that manner who are probably being blackmailed.
But, you know, Ted, none of them appear to be working for us. So that makes me wonder if they don't have something on every single one of them.
Well, I think there's probably, if I had to guess, I would say 25 or 30 good people back there of the 535 congressmen and senators. I'd say if that max, maybe 35.
That's not a very comforting percentage.
No, it's less than 10%.
And like Ron Paul out of Texas, of course, and there's some others like him, and there's some good people back there, but, nobody pays any attention to them, like me. I've been to the FBI half a dozen times on the Finders case, and the FBI's ignoring me.
Why do they still let you talk, Ted?
Well, there have been attempts on my life. When I first became involved in these issues back in the early 80s, I had three occasions when gunmen were waiting for me, and I was able to avoid it. And I found out afterwards, and I documented that there actually were gunmen waiting for me. And then the FBI tried to prosecute me on a fraud case. They actually had three investigations going on me in Texas. That didn't work because I did not become involved in any criminal activity.
I just can't understand, Ted, why I can't understand why the guys that you used to work with wouldn't come to your, aid and assist you.
Well,
I mean, you all have those same kind of, you worked at the same time, and the agency was different.
What's going on.
Have you approached them?
Well, I've thought about approaching them, but you see, here's the problem. There's like 7,500 members of the Society of Former Special Agents of the FBI, and I was a member of that organization, and they came to me back in the mid-90s and asked me to resign because of my criticism of the FBI. I refused, and they ended up expelling me. And so these guys don't know what's going on. I even sent them documentation. There were five issues at stake as to why they wanted me to resign.
Well, you basically then became the black sheep, and not only with them, Ted, but I know over the last couple of years we've been following what's been happening to you with certain individuals who I'm not even going to name, but you're well aware of who they are, and they've been attacking you on the Internet unmercifully,
and
haven't
Bell,
they?
Art Bell, too, right?
And who?
Art Bell?
Oh, yeah, Art Bell, of course. Yeah, Art Bell's one. But I can name them, one of them, because you don't have to worry about being sued.
Go ahead.
Because I have documentation. He's an FBI informant. His name is Stu Will.
Yeah, that's who we're talking about.
Yeah. You see, going back to the question you asked me a few moments ago, after they ran the investigation on me, didn't do anything with it, they tried to set me up on a drug deal through a girl named Pam Fawcett. That didn't work. And so all these tactics that they've used to try to discredit me and also try to put me in jail have not worked. So now what they've done, they've come forward with people like Stu Webb, who's an FBI informant, who makes outlandish statements that I'm a homosexual, I'm a CIA informant, I'm an FBI informant, I was kicked out of the FBI for practicing satanic ceremonies in the federal building, and just lectures anymore. I used to have one or two lectures a month.
Uh-huh.
I have a lecture every 6 months now because people are afraid of me.
Well, and we know the same thing's been happening to us too, Ted, is that when you cross a certain line here and you want to expose them, regardless of the circumstances or the repercussions, the same thing that's happened to you has happened to us.
But it's not fear, Ted. A lot of the people who claim to be telling the truth in this whole media thing are not. They're working for the bad guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why the people who do tell the truth are marginalized and pushed it out to the periphery.
Yeah, and that's what's happening to you. So one last thing before we go, Ted. First, give your website address.
Yeah,
one last time.
TedGunderson.com.
And we urge everyone, Ted Gunderson, that's G-U-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, TedGunderson.com.
This is a really serious
it
matter
is.
That it's been allowed to go on for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just mention a couple other things.
Oh, go ahead.
Time.
Go ahead.
In addition to attacking me on the Internet, they have intercepted my mails, as the government has, obviously. I gave a speech in Santa Clara here about 8 or 9 months ago, and a lady came up and said, I sent you a check with an order. And never received the check, never cashed, and never received the order. So my mail's been intercepted. And in addition to that, I'm on PayPal. People can order my products through PayPal. And I went from March the 9th of this year till about a month ago without one order, and yet I've had over 70,000 hits on my website.
Jesus. Well, you know, I'm going to talk to you offline about some stuff here. And it's, Ted, we know exactly what you're going through, and I mean exactly. And tell us a little bit in closing. Another famous case you were involved in was the McMartin preschool case, and you actually even camped out there, I believe, for a while.
Oh yeah. Well, in the McMartin case, this broke in the early 1980s, and one of the mothers claimed that her child. This was a preschool case. After being dropped off en route while she went to work, then dropping the kid off in the morning, and they picked the kid up in the afternoon, of course. But the kids were being molested over there, and as a result of the publicity of that case, other kids came forward, other children came forward. The children said there were tunnels under the school. Authorities went out in 1987, couldn't find any tunnels. I had an opportunity in 1990 to take control of the school that had been given from the McMartin family. Danny Davis, the attorney, and he sold it to a contractor. And within 34 days, we hired an archaeologist, by the way, Dr. Gary Stickle, the parents and I did. And within 34 days, he said, well, he could prove that there had been tunnels under the school that had been filled in. And I was responsible for, you know, that whole fiasco. As a matter of fact, I spent over $17,000 of my own money on that project. I become involved in these projects, and I end up spending my own money because the client runs out of money, and, you know, I can't just stop.
Right, right.
And so anyway, that case, and then I also found the site up in the mountains where the kids were taken, an abandoned satanic site. The day after the case broke in the newspapers, that house burned down, and I notified the district attorney of both these tunnels under the school and the site in the mountains where the kids claimed they were, obviously they were taken there. They didn't claim that. They said they were taken up in the mountains in an airplane, but I know that's the location. And Bill Rubin, the fresco, didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Let me ask you this. Have you tried getting a hold of John Walsh? You know, the guy whose son
had... He knows all about this.
And he doesn't say anything?
No. No, he
that's
doesn't.
That's, like, incredible.
Well, he's riding the fence, because if he comes out too strong, they're going to cut him off. The FBI
will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's obviously the point, because
his
he has this TV show. And you know the guys that killed him, Otis Toole or Otis Toole, and the other guy from Texas, what the hell was his name? They used to run with Otis Toole. But it's funny, Ted, because these people were then pardoned by George Bush and Jeb Bush while they were governors of Texas and Florida. So this
really,
is going
really
all the way
sick
to the White House, isn't it?
It goes all the way up. Paul Benassi has drawn the inside living quarters of the White House.
That's sickening.
Well, you know, Ted, what you say right here today, it just breaks my heart, and not only for all the families and all the children, but also for all the hell that you've been through.
Yeah, you know,
to stick
Ted,
your neck out.
Ted has been, like, maybe one of the only people that has consistently, all these years, spoken out. You, John DeCamp, some other people, and nothing's getting done about this.
No. Listen, you know, what I do need, though, I'm drastically in trouble financially. And I'm involved in a multi-level program. Can I mention it or not?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It involves extending your fuel economy up to 45% on your automobile. And if you're interested in it, it's a multi-level program. Let me give a number out for people to call.
Okay.
And
so we can all make money on it if you decide to check into it. Call 877-877-0825. That's 877 twice.
Okay.
877-877-0825.
All right. Very good. We hope everyone wrote that down. And, Ted, we just can't thank you enough for coming on. It's TedGunderson.com. And this is one of the guys that's fighting the evil bastards that are out there.
Be careful out there, Ted.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
It was great to meet you down there in D.C. So just keep up the good work and stay in touch, okay?
Okay. TedGunderson.com.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we'll
Ben.
Be back
thanks,
on. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a good weekend. And keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.